WTO members in terms of the negotiations was to clarify and improve on the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade Articles 5, the deals with freedom of transit, Article 8, sorry, the deals with fees and formalities connected with importation and exportation, and then Article 10, the deals with publication and administration of trade regulations. The negotiations took a number of years, and it was finally concluded at the Ministerial Council meeting in Bali in December 2013, where the Trade Facilitation Agreement was agreed by all of the members of the World Trade Organization. A process then followed to provide for a protocol that will insert the Trade Facilitation Agreement into Annex 1A of the WTO agreements. And this protocol was approved by the WTO members on 27 November 2014. And it provided that the Trade Facilitation Agreement will enter into force once two-thirds of the members of the WTO has deposited their instruments of acceptance. If you look at the objectives of the Trade Facilitation Agreement, as I indicated earlier, it's basically to simplify and standardize the processes and procedures surrounding the import and exportation of goods, to remove obstacles in terms of trade across the borders, to reduce trade costs, to expedite movement and the release and clearance of goods, and to also improve cooperation between the custom, border, and other authorities that deals with the importation and exportation of goods. And also it provides for the exchange of technical assistance and or enhanced technical assistance and capacity building of countries in terms of especially the trade facilitation procedures. If you look at the agreement itself, it's got three sections. Section 1 deals with the provisions, the actual provisions that deals with the expediting of movement, the release and clearance of goods, goods in transit. It clarifies and improves on the articles in the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade that I've mentioned, Article 5, 8 and 10. And it also sets out a provision for customs cooperation that was very important for South Africa, and we were one of the proponents of this provision that enhanced the customs cooperation between countries that we can address a number of issues including fraud. So in terms of Section 2 of the agreement, it deals with special and differential treatment provisions that allows for developing and least developed countries to determine when they would be able to implement the specific provisions that set out in Section 1. And it also provides for them to receive technical assistance and support for capacity building before they implement some of the provisions that is contained in Section 1 of the agreement. And then Section 3 is just contains the general provisions. It provides for the establishment of a permanent committee on trade facilitation in the WTO, and it also requires that countries establish a national committee on trade facilitation that will look after the coordination and implementation of the trade facilitation commitments that we are making in terms of this agreement. Importantly for South Africa, as a developing country, Section 2 will be applicable. And in terms of the special and differential treatment that is provided in Section 2, you can categorize your commitments under Section 1 under three categories. Category A are those commitments that you would be able to implement at the entering into force of the agreement and for a developing country, and if you are a least developed country, those commitments that you can implement a year after entering into force of the agreement. Category B provides for those commitments that you will need time to implement. So you need to establish some provision, computer systems maybe, or you need to provide some specific legislative amendments, so you'll need 2 or 3 years to be able to implement it. That is your Category B commitments. And then Category C commitments are those that you are not able to implement before you haven't received technical assistance and capacity building to enable you to implement those specific commitments. In terms of the state of play in the WTO, currently the internal ratification processes of the individual WTO members is ongoing, as well as the depositing by those WTO members that has finalized their internal processes of the instruments of acceptance of the WTO agreement. A sufficient number of countries has now deposited their instruments of acceptance, and therefore on the 22nd of February 2017, the WTO trade facilitation agreement officially entered into force for those countries that has already submitted their instruments of acceptance. At this stage, 118 WTO members have deposited their instruments. South Africa has not yet deposited the instrument, but I'll come to it just now, the reason for that. And importantly to note is that for developed countries, immediately at entering into force of the agreement for those countries, all of the commitments under Category A will become applicable. And then, as I've indicated, for those developing countries that has, before the agreement entered into force for them, notified their Category B and C commitments, it will come into effect at those times that they've indicated in the categorization that they've submitted. For South Africa, we have finalized our internal ratification processes. I'm sure the committee will remember that it was something that served before this committee last year. And Cabinet has also approved the establishment of the National Trade Facilitation Committee. It's co-chaired by the Department of Trade and Industry and the South African Revenue Services, and all of the relevant government departments and agencies that deals with issues in regard to import and importation of goods are on that committee. The National Trade Facilitation Committee has been tasked with developing South Africa's categorization list to make sure that we categorize our commitments according to our specific capacity. And that process has taken some time because there's many departments that's involved. It's not just SARS, for example. There's other departments that will also be affected. So the process took time, but it's been finalized, and Cabinet has approved South Africa's categorization in April 2017, and currently the process is underway for the simultaneous depositing of South Africa's instrument of acceptance of the WTO trade facilitation agreement, as well as our Category A commitment to the WTO. Because as soon as the agreement, as I've mentioned, as soon as the agreement enters into force for South Africa, our Category A commitments will become applicable. And it's expected that this process should be completed before the end of May 2017. In terms of our specific categorization, the reason, as I said, that it's taken time is that we had to take into account the implications of such categorization for South Africa. The categorization is tailor-made. It looks at South Africa's specific needs and also the capability of the country. Where are we already in implementing the commitments and what it will take to implement the specific commitments? And also the time or the type of reform that is going to be needed for us to be able to implement the specific commitments. It is therefore hope that this process that we have followed will minimize any possible negative effects that may arise from the implementation of the trade agreement, the trade facilitation agreement, because we took into account where we will need time. Most of the commitments we have categorized under Category A because we are already implementing those commitments. But where there is still some time needed to implement some of the commitments, or the commitments is only implemented to some extent and further work is needed, we have provided time for them to be implemented under Category B. At this stage, we do not have any commitments that we are categorizing under Category C. meaning that we will need capacity building or some sort of assistance from donors or other countries.
I mishear you. Did you refer to a category D just now as well?
Category B and then category C, yeah. So some of our commitments is under category B. It's just the time that we need to implement. For example, the new customs legislation is not in force yet, and some of these issues would be dealt with in that legislation, and then we don't have any commitments at this stage that's categorized under category C. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Ms. Kruger. Members, this is very important for us, the World Trade Organization, the facilitation agreement. It's been going on for, I know it was spelt out, many, many years, but it's way over 10 years, I do know that. I can't remember the exact year, but it's about 2003, 2004. And eventually it's here. And South Africa really had to fight long and hard alongside many other countries because it continues to be classified as developed, does it not? Although here, it's sort of, they've, somehow the way they've worded it, we can slip across three areas. And I know you'll tell us a little bit more about that, Ms. Kruger, but let me turn to the committee and ask them to make any comments, seek any clarification. Thank you, Honourable Mantashe. Honourable Williams, is that it for the moment?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry that I got involved in the presentation a bit late, but I've been asking myself, even in my sleep, what does the Brexit mean on us as South Africa? I hear your presentation says there are negotiations in place. With the arrogance, if I may say, that the President Donald Trump is presenting, should we be worried that at some point our trade with them is going to be affected? I heard him saying he's intending to prioritize his own country first and withdraw aid with other countries. To which extent, in your view, as a department, will that have on us? What impact? To which extent will be the impact on us if that happens? And if it happens, are we trying to look into new avenues where we can export our agricultural products? I'm worried about them in the
Essentially then, with respect, you asking that with respect to the Trade Facilitation Agreement, because America is a member of the World Trade Organization, the United States. Honourable William.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm on a similar line as Honourable Mantashe. I was just also wanting to know, you know, these statements by the U.S. President, is there going to be a problem? And can he actually define WTO agreements? Because every time we, like, say, why don't we stop importing A, B, and C, then they say, no, we can't, defy WTO agreements, or why can't we compel our private sector to buy locally, and we get told we can't do that. But also, I just want to comment that this is a very important part of this portfolio committee, and I'm quite surprised how quickly the auditorium emptied out after the banking issue, you know, the debt relief issue, and now trade is not even looked at as even a major thing. It's like a minor thing, it seems to be, and I think that, that's a bit funny, actually. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have used the word funny, but I do know what you mean. I think it's a matter of great concern. At one point, trade was, the theme was trade and poverty, development, how can trade overcome poverty through development or whatever. And trade was seen as, and is seen even now by those who would like to use it effectively, as an instrument. to transform the country in terms of its development and poverty. But I'm just looking towards Honourable America. Do you have a comment or question, Honourable Albert? Right. Do go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe in terms of both the questions from the Honourable Matash and the Honourable Williams, I'm also going to do a presentation on our trade agreements, including the wider WTO negotiations. So I'll address it in more detail, I think, during that presentation. But I think in terms of Brexit and the current view of policy from the United States, they both the United States and of course the United Kingdom as part of the European Union has already submitted their instruments of acceptance of the WTO Trade Facilitation Agreement. So all of the provisions that's contained in Category A that deals with easing imports and exports is applicable to both the United States and the United Kingdom. Now, the United States, we will need to, once the new trade representative has been confirmed and they've started to articulate the policy in terms of trade, I think, more thoroughly, we will have a better idea, but there seems to be, as you've indicated, a stance from the new U.S. president that it should be America first, and that the focus should be on bilateral relations and not the multilateral relations. So we will need to see as they develop their policy and we not start to get more clarity on that, on what sort of impact it will have also in terms of our own trade with the United States. But for the trade facilitation agreement itself, it's applicable to both, and both of them are implementing the agreement.
I think, Ms. Kruger, you should go straight into the other one because you are more or less in the other presentation, which was more focused on the different agreements that we're in, but it was a lead, the previous one. You've got the SADC protocol there, etc. So if you look at the trade agreements, which is page 4, and then you whip through from there.
Thank you very much. In terms of an update on South Africa's trade negotiations, I'll just look at SACU, the Southern African Development Community, our negotiations with the European Union, the Continental Free Trade Agreement, as well as the Tripartite Free Trade Agreement that's negotiated in Africa, and then our preferential agreements with India and with Mercosur. If we can start with SACU, the Southern African Customs Union is the oldest customs union in the world. It was established in 2010, and the agreement was renegotiated in 2002. The agreement focused on the free movement of goods within the customs union. As I'm sure you all know, members of the customs union in South Africa, the Lesotho, Swaziland, Namibia, and Botswana. And the SACU heads of state has approved the SACU 6-point plan that look at industrial development as the overarching theme in the region, and then also unified engagement on trade negotiations with third party to preserve the common external tariff. So at the 5 countries, we have a common external tariff, and you'll see where I talk about the specific negotiations that we are currently undertaking. We are undertaking in terms of the negotiations on goods. We are undertaking those negotiations as a bloc. As a customs union, as SACU, and the 6-point plan further goes into trade facilitation issues, that is very important, as we've just mentioned, as well as the review of the revenue sharing formula. So we share the customs and excise duties that we collect in SACU. the establishment of the SAHPRA institutions and then the approach to trade and services. It may be important to note that currently trade and services is not covered under the SAHPRA agreement, and that we are negotiating specific commitments in terms of trade and services in the Southern African Development Community. I'll get to that, but that's also applicable in terms of our services negotiations with our partners within SAHPRA. That is taking place under SADC. Then currently there's discussions ongoing on amendments to the SAHPRA agreement to facilitate the implementation of the development integration agenda. So in short, that is SAHPRA. Then on the SADC trade protocol, that's the Southern African Development Community, this agreement has been in force since the 25th of January 2000, and as well it aims to reduce customs duties and other barriers to trade between the member states of the SADC trade protocol. Not all members of SADC is part of the SADC trade protocol and has made specific commitments. Currently, the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Angola are still not taking part in the trade protocol, and Seychelles has recently joined accession process was finalized last year. Under the SADC trade protocol, South Africa, or SAHPRA, grants duty-free status for 99% of products that is coming from the other countries that is taking part in the trade protocol. Basically, the only products that's being excluded from SAHPRA's side in terms of the preferences that we are giving is second-hand clothing and then certain automotive products, as well as sugar that is liberalized, but it's subject to a volume-based quota to also provide protection for our own sugar production in the SAHPRA region. In 2015, approximately 25% of South Africa's exports went to the SADC region, while about 6% of the imports came from the SADC region. So you can see that, especially for our exports, SADC is a very important export destination. And currently, in terms of the total SADC trade, about 90% of products are traded duty-free. Within SADC, and if fully implemented, over 99% of products within SADC would be trade duty-free. It's also important to note that South Africa will chair SADC from August 2017 to August 2018, and our focus will be to implementation of the SADC trade protocol, as well as the industrial work program of SADC. In terms of the SADC services negotiations, the SADC Trade and Services Protocol was approved by the summit in 2012, and after this, the specific negotiations on commitments that we will make in priority sectors in services started. This negotiations is still ongoing. For South Africa, this is very important negotiations. We have a very well-developed services sector that is already very active in many of the SADC countries as well as in the rest of Africa. And the services protocol will consolidate this access that we already have, and it will also provide enhanced access for our service providers. We can also see that services is a very important part of developing your industrial capacity. And therefore, the South African firms in the region can also contribute to the economic development of the whole SADC region. In terms of the specific commitments, the liberalization commitments that will be made, this will give the South African service providers also an advantage over suppliers from outside the region. And the protocol will also lay the basis for the wider services negotiations that we will now commence under the Tripartite Free Trade Agreement as well as the Continental Free Trade Agreement. In terms of the priority sectors that has been identified, it's been communications, construction, financial, energy-related services, tourism and transport, And the negotiations on communication, financial, tourism and transport services sectors has been completed, but the negotiations on construction and energy services are still in the early stages, and it's still going to take some time to complete those negotiations. 13 countries in SADC, of the 15 countries in SADC, have made offers so far in the services negotiations. And currently it's just Angola and Namibia that's outstanding. So it's interesting to note that the DRC, for example, is not taking part in the goods protocol, but it is taking part in the services protocol. DRC. Yes. The indicative date for finalizing the negotiations was September 2016, but as I say, there's two sectors that we need to finalize, and the trade ministers meeting in June, July will decide on a new timeline to also push the finalization of the other two outstanding sectors. We're also negotiating currently the tripartite free trade agreement. This is negotiations between the three regional economic communities of SADC, and then COMESA, that's the common market of Eastern and Southern Africa, and then the EAC, that's the East African Community. The tripartite has been initiative has three pillars, being market access, so that's the actual negotiations in terms of a free trade area, and then development of cross-border infrastructure, and then regional industrial development. The tripartite and free trade area will combine the market of 26 countries with a combined GDP of about 625 of 1.6 trillion US dollars and a population about 620 million people. So this will provide a market of scale for our exporters, and it should, we hope, assist the countries that's part of this negotiations, the 26 countries, to also be start to develop a new trajectory for their development, their economic development. Then the tripartite will also form the basis for the Africa-wide free trade agreement that we have started negotiations as well. The agreement that, or the legal text of the main agreement of the tripartite has been finalized, and the heads of states on 10 June 2015 launched the tripartite free trade agreement, but there's still work that's outstanding towards a functional free trade area, and this work is still ongoing. That's specifically the work on the tariff commitments that we will be making to one another, as well as the specific rules of origin that will be attached to that. And that goes to the next slide that deals with market integration. It's important to note that all of the annexes to the agreement has now been finalized, and the legal scrubbing of the outstanding annexes that has not gone through the process yet will be completed in May 2017, and then all of the annexes will be legally scrubbed annexes will be considered by the trade ministers meeting in the tripartite that will take place in June. The outstanding work is still on the list rules that we are negotiating that will form an appendix to the annex on rules of origin, as well as the specific tariff concessions that we will be granting to one another inside the tripartite free trade area. For SACU, the SADC list rules are the basis for our negotiations, and of course the negotiations is also informed by our own industrial policy objectives. And then in terms of the negotiations on tariff preferences, those are only among the tripartite free trade area, agreement countries that does not currently have a trade agreement. So we will not be renegotiating our commitments under SADC. We will be negotiating with those countries outside of SADC, being basically the EAC countries, except Tanzania, that is part of SADC, and then Egypt, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Eritrea, and Sudan. We've already exchanged our office with the EAC and SACU, and the negotiations there is at the advanced stage, and we hope to finalize it by the middle of the year. And then in terms of the negotiations with the other countries, our office, the SACU offer, are ready for these countries, and once they are in a position to exchange their offers, the negotiations will start. There's also a phase two in the negotiations that deals with trade and services, as well as cooperation on intellectual property rights, investment and competition policy. This negotiations was supposed to start last year, but there's a shortage of funding in the tripartite secretariat and task team. And once they've acquired the needed funding, then the negotiations on those areas will also start. In terms of industrial development, the Tripartite Sectoral Ministerial Committee has approved a framework for cooperation and a roadmap and work program on industrial development in October 2016, and the Tripartite Task Force now need to mobilize the resources for the implementation of this work program towards the industrial development within the Tripartite region. On infrastructure development, the work in this area is done by the Tripartite Task Force that is established by the three secretariats of the three RECs. And the purpose of this pillar is to improve the region's infrastructure in terms of the efficiency in terms of internal trade and transport networks, in terms of road, rail, water and air, and it also looks at issues like ICT and energy. There's been some progress that is made, and there's been an operationalization of the project preparatory and implementation unit that looks at preparing bankable infrastructure projects to also to facilitate the investment in these specific areas. And the flagship infrastructure and trade facilitation program under this pillar at the moment is the North-South Corridor. And the aim of this, the North-South Corridor, is to address both physical and non-physical bottlenecks along the corridor that is from Durban until Dar es Salaam at this stage. We are also negotiating an instrument on the movement of business persons. And this work is being led by the Department of Home Affairs with support from the DTI and the Department of Labour. The committee dealing with the movement of business persons had 6 meetings, and there's still just a few outstanding issues on the guiding principles and then the dispute settlement provision in terms of this instrument, and the aim is to finalise this also by June 2017 for adoption by the relevant sectorial ministers. On the continental free trade agreement negotiations, the negotiations has also started in this area, and the continental free trade area will consist of the 55 countries that is part of the European African Union. It will have a market of over 1 billion people with a combined GDP of over $2 trillion. And the AU Assembly launched the Continental Free Trade Area negotiations on 15 June 2015 in Johannesburg. To date, 5 meetings of the negotiation forum has taken place, as well as 2 meetings of the 7 technical working groups that has been established in terms for these negotiations, and the senior trade officials, as well as the AU ministers of trade meetings. And the outcomes from these meetings has been an agreement on the definitions of the principles guiding the CFTA negotiations, as well as we agreed on the terms of reference and the establishment of the various technical working groups, being legal and institutional affairs, non-tariff barriers and technical barriers to trade, rules of origin, sanitary and phytosanitary measures, trade remedies, customs procedures and trade facilitation and trade and services. These are all essential parts of a free trade agreement. Then we've also agreed on the work plan and schedules for the CFTA negotiations, and currently we are still considering the draft modalities for the tariff negotiations as well as the negotiations on services that will take place at the same time under the work program agreed for the continental FTA negotiations. And we have started with the preliminary consideration and discussions of the draft text in the various areas. This is being considered by the technical working groups at the moment. In terms of the modalities on trade and goods, that's the tariff negotiations and trade and services. We hope that we will be able to finalize these modalities and reach an agreement at the next negotiation forum that will take place in the beginning of June, followed by a senior officials meeting and a AU trade ministers meeting that then can adopt the negotiations, the modalities for the negotiations that will enable us to start the actual negotiations on the tariff preferences that we will be giving to one another, as well as the basis on which we will do the tariff and the trade and services negotiations. The negotiations are member state driven, and there is draft text in the different areas that is being considered by the technical working groups that will make recommendations in terms of those texts to the negotiation forum that will then finalize the negotiations surrounding those. For South Africa, as part of SACU, as well as the Tripartite Free Trade Agreement member states, our agreed approach is that we should build on what the key and what we have achieved in the tripartite free trade agreement, and that currently we're also in terms of that coordinating our positions and approaches.
Ms. Kruger, I think it's so important when we're using these Latin terms, I think that's Latin or French, to mention what it is. It is that which has been agreed, a key. You know, I don't know if anyone knew what a key was sitting on my leg. All right, thanks. It's a French term. Is it French? Yeah, I thought as much.
Thanks very much. Exactly. That's what we have already agreed in the tripartite. We are 26 member states. That should form, that's the basis of our position that we will take in the continental free trade agreement negotiations. Then in terms of, and maybe just in conclusion, the indicative time frame that's been given to conclude the negotiations for goods and services under the continental free trade agreement is the end of this year. We will see how far the work goes in terms of what is happening in both the trade negotiation forum and the technical working groups, and then we'll report progress to the ministers that will then look at and report progress to the heads of state in terms of whether this time frame can be met or whether it needs to be revised. Then on the, we're also negotiating a preferential trade agreement between SACU and India. The purpose of this preferential trade agreement is to boost South-South trade in a targeted manner, and therefore it is a more limited agreement than a free trade agreement. It only looks at specific sectors. And in terms of our tariff preferences, that will be given, and it doesn't cover substantially all trade as we will do under the free trade agreement. The agreement will also provide for the legal and institutional framework to manage the trade between SACU and India. And in terms of our trade relations with India, you can see that they now are our fifth largest trading partner, with trade in 2015 over 95 billion. So trade has been growing over the last number of years between South Africa and India. We have been having difficulties to finalize South Africa and then in terms of SAHU's offer to India, because a lot of concerns has been raised by different industries in terms of the non-tariff barriers that is in the Indian market that makes it difficult to export to them, and that a number of the requests from India in terms of tariff preferences has also been in sensitive sectors like textile and clothing that makes it very difficult for us to agree on any sort of a preference in those areas. So what has been agreed is that we would look at a reduced level of tariff exchange coverage, and that we will use the preferential trade agreement as a building block to enhance trade in future. So that's the approach that we are taking, and once we have finalized the SAHU offer, then exchange will take place with India. On the Economic Partnership Agreement, the EPA, between the SADC EPA group and the European Union, as you know, the European Union as a bloc remains South Africa's largest trading partner, and our relationship as South Africa, our trade relationships has been governed by the Trade Development and Cooperation Agreement since the 1st of January 2002, and this agreement, 2000, sorry, the 1st of January 2000, and the TDCA has been fully implemented by the EU since 1 January 2010 and by South Africa since 1 January 2012. Currently, if you look at our trade, the total trade between South Africa and the European Union has increased from 150 billion in 2000 to 588 billion in 2016. So there's been a huge increase in our imports and exports. And if you look at the specific terms of the increase from our exports to the European Union, it's increased over the same period from 64 billion to 250 billion, while our imports from the EU has increased from 86 billion to 338 billion. And from this you can see that we still have a huge negative trade margin, a trade surplus with the EU, and that this is something that we will need to address, and that we hope that the economic partnership agreement that we've negotiated will also be able to contribute to. Then maybe just to give just a bit of background in terms of the EPA. Our partners in SAHU traded on a different agreement with the EU. They received unilateral duty-free access into the European Union under the Cotonou Agreement. And while South Africa has this the Trade Development and Cooperation Agreement that governs our relationship. So when other SAHU countries started to negotiate the Economic Partnership Agreement, South Africa joined the negotiations so that we can establish a common regional agreement in terms of trading relationship with the European Union. And also we wanted to secure further market access, especially for our agricultural products under the Economic Partnership Agreement. South Africa officially joined the negotiations in early 2007, and the agreement was finally signed on the 10th of June 2016. So you can see it took a number of years to negotiate this new trade agreement between SAHU and the EU. Just for your information, the SADC EPA group is not all of the SADC countries. It is the SAHU, the five SAHU countries, and Mozambique and Angola formed the SADC EPA group, but Angola has not signed the agreement, so they're not part of the at this stage of the EPA agreement that has been concluded. Then, in terms of the agreement after signature, we went through our different internal ratification processes in the SAHU countries, And for all of the SACU countries, the agreement provisionally entered into force on the 10th of October 2016 between SACU and the EU. Mozambique has just finished their ratification process and the agreement will enter into force for them once they have submitted their instrument of ratification. So in terms of the implementation, with the entering into force of the agreement on the 10th of October, all our new market access except those on agriculture also entered into force. The new agricultural market access that we negotiated under the EPA agreement entered into force on the 1st of November 2016. And then since the entering into force of the agreement, two tariff reductions has taken place under the taken place in SACU and the EU under this agreement. The first reduction was, of course, at the entering into force of the agreement on the 10th of October for fisheries, and then on the 1st of November 2016 for some of the agricultural products where we are phasing out duties over a period of time. And then the second reduction in terms of this occurred on the 1st of January 2016, and the next reduction will take place on the 1st of January 2017.
Ms. Kruger, we're facing a time constraint due to budget plenaries, and there was a question asked on Brexit and EPA. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be inviting you back through your principal, you know, DG obviously, or DDG, and I will be inviting you back because it's been a lot for new members to absorb. If you could just touch on Brexit, and then we will engage for 5 minutes.
Yes. In terms of Brexit, as you know, the United Kingdom is part of the European Union. So currently, they South Africa's second biggest trading partner in the European Union after Germany, and they are South Africa's seventh biggest trading partner in terms of our total trade with all countries. But for our agricultural exports, importantly to note, the United Kingdom was the third biggest market in the world for us in 2015. Where 50% of South Africa's fruit exports going to the UK and 25% of our wine exports. So it's a very important market, especially for our agricultural and processed agricultural products. Also for some of our other value-added products like motor vehicles, where a substantial part of our production is also going to the United Kingdom. And in March 2017, the UK Prime Minister, as you know, have officially given notice in terms of Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty that the United Kingdom will be leaving the European Union. And this notification has started the 2-year period for the negotiations of the UK exit from the EU. But currently, the United Kingdom is still part of the European Union, and they are obliged, and they are implementing on a provisional basis as the other EU countries the Economic Partnership Agreement as was decided by the European Parliament, and they will continue to implement all of their commitments under the EPA agreement until the time that they finally leave the EU. So for the next period of time, of course, the EPA will regulate or manage our relationship in terms of our trade between the between South Africa and the United Kingdom. But we know they will be exiting. We do not know yet what the basis of this exit of the EU will be. The UK will be out of the EU. Will they stay part of the common market? Will they be leaving the common market? So our objectives has been to have an engagement with the United Kingdom to ensure that there will be no interruption in terms of the trade between South Africa and the United Kingdom once they leave the EU. We've had a number of discussions at the senior officials level, but also at the ministers level, and there was an agreement that we need to provide certainty as soon as possible to traders and investors in terms of the trade relationship between South Africa and the UK post-Brexit. And we've agreed in principle that the most expedient way to to ensure that there's a smooth transition and that there's no interruption of trade is to put in place an interim arrangement between SACU, because it would have to be SACU because of the common customs area, and the UK based on the EPA agreement. So for South Africa specifically, because the Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia and Swaziland is receiving duty-free, quota-free access into the EU, and that will be taken over, I suppose, by the UK. But South Africa into the European Union had to negotiate on a number of products quotas, and we only get access on certain of the products. So on those tariff rate quotas, we will have to negotiate the volumes with the UK specifically. So there's some sort of negotiation that is going to be needed in terms of how to put this interim arrangement in place. And we have sent a letter officially to the United Kingdom requesting that we can start the discussions on establishing this interim arrangement and to look at the specific issues in the EPA that we will need to discuss, like the tariff rate quotas, but maybe just in terms of the volumes for the tariff rate quotas being negotiated with the United Kingdom. Our view, and that is what we've also put across to the European Union, is the fact that the United Kingdom is leaving doesn't mean that the volumes that we currently have into the European Union can be reduced. So the volumes as is in the agreement should stay in place, and we will negotiate new volumes with the United Kingdom. It's anticipated that a discussion on a technical level to look at what is needed to put in place an interim arrangement between SACU and the United Kingdom will start after the general elections that, as you know, has been set for the 8th of June. The intention of both sides is that we finalize as soon as possible in the 2 years this interim arrangement so that we can see certainty as soon as possible.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kruger, for that input, that presentation. And members, I've also noted here we've got about 1, 2, 3, 4 questions, but let me just hear, and we are going to be calling you back in a week or two, and you'll be able to deal with it more effectively. Questions, please, Honourable America, Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation, Ms. Kruger. Initially in the presentation you were saying, referring to SACU is negotiating tariff concessions with non-SADC members of TFTA, notably East African Community, Egypt, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Eritrea, and Sudan. I get the sense that the endeavors are towards the east. Is there any intention? And I know in your total presentation you also stated that you want to create an Africa-wide free trade zone. Any negotiations with ECOWAS and in the west of Africa? That's one. The other relates to your last reference in terms of Brexit, and the current trade relations with the UK, there's a negative trade balance, as you have alluded and in the presentation. Now my question is, if the UK leaves the EU and the UK being the second largest trading partner within the European EU, what impact will that have on the trade deficit South Africa has with the UK? And finally, you have stated that even though the UK may leave the EU, the volumes with will remain the same within in the EU. who are going to absorb those extra volumes if the UK has left the EU? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honourable America. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I just welcome the input.
I'll interrupt you for one moment, Honourable Williams. Honourable America, you'll need to write that down. We'll also capture some of it. Ms. Kruger will be returning. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Just want to welcome the input. Thank you very much. I just have one question. You know, when we did the investment bill, we were dealing with agreements we had with other countries that put us in less favourable circumstances. I just want to know, do we currently have any trade agreements that put us in less favourable position? And if so, with whom, and then when do they expire so that we don't have to deal with them anymore? Thank you.
Honourable Williams, Honourable Manta.
Thank you, Chairperson. A few questions. Given that nations can enter into economic partnership agreements individually or collectively, how does the EPA affect African regional integration? Examples of EPA would be AGOA and EU agreements with African countries. Again, will the Brexit offer opportunities or challenges for SA trade with the UK? I think we could emphasize on that. And again, these negotiations between SACU are with even the individual countries as opposed to regional blocks. I've said that already. Why are negotiations not done between regional economic communities?
I have to ask members to understand that we're utilising a room that is needed for plenaries and we must exit at 1:15. It's now that. So I've spoken to Mr. Hermans. He's going to make an arrangement for you to return. But meanwhile, I've asked Honourable America as well as Honourable Williams and Mantash to write down their questions. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from the table here, and then we'll submit this afternoon. I'll just get a copy of that, you see? Right. So, Ms. Kruger, I must apologize to you on behalf of the committee that we could not complete this engagement, but other exigencies have taken over. But it's just as well, we do need to engage more effectively with trade. And you've given us something to peruse, and our questions will be with you this afternoon or tomorrow morning. And Mr. Hermans and Mr. Medema will let you know when it would be suitable. And we would want that to happen in the next 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Members, we've gone through a long agenda. Tomorrow...